Oh, yeah.
They only go to all the reenactments, and I felt like an idiot because they're like, we went to the reenactment at, where was it, Acacia or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I didn't know there were any battles in Acacia. And
he's like, no.
My.
Yes, they got this far west.
Special. I thought they only did them at, authentic war.
The battlefield. Yeah, they have the same thing over in near the Huntington Beach Library. And it's the Battle of Huntington Beach.
The little-known West Coast Civil War.
Yeah. Anyway, let's count it down.
Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hi, this is Chris Harmer of Harmer Show Auctions, and I'm at Stamp Show here today.
It's hard to send up.
Welcome to Stamp Share Here Today, podcast number 29. I'm sitting here with Scott, Cash, Lloyd, and Jeff, and I'm your host, Jessica. You can find us on Facebook at Stamp Share Here Today, and on Twitter at Stamp Show HT. Tell your friends they can find us on iTunes, Podbay, and Stitcher. Let's talk about stamps. So this week we'll be talking about stamp news, Civil War commemorative, hashtag stamp stories, Japan's missing post office. And our expert topic of the week is more like our discussion on Westpex. So Stamp News, the USPS, released a new and final Civil War stamp for their series, and apparently was attended by several of General Lee's descendants. And how old must those guys be?
Well, yeah. Well, they could be toddlers.
Yeah.
As long as they're descendants. Yeah.
So it's commemorating the Battle of Five Forks, and we have a Civil War enthusiast with us, Cash. So what can you tell us about that? Why is it so important?
Well, I like the stamps, but there are some interesting stories about them. Like the Battle of Five Forks was at the very end of the Civil War. It was as General Lee basically knew that he had lost, and he was trying to get as quick as possible to the Carolinas. And the Battle of Five Forks was they were fighting in front of a bridge. And the interesting thing about it was that it was a decisive victory for the Confederates, and the Union suffered 100% casualties. Not everybody died, but everybody was wounded at least. And but the more interesting one is the Appomattox Courthouse stamp. First of all, they really cleaned up President Grant so that he looks really nice and spiffy. He had been riding hard and wasn't in nearly as good attire as General Lee, who purposely had a new suit, a new coat, you know, rode everything in, had a ceremonial sword that he had picked up from a he was awarded it. He that's the sword that he was going to give to Grant, and Grant refused to accept it. In the background, you have Sheridan, and also General Custer is one of those guys back there somewhere, if it's an accurate picture. And it's a really cool stamp. The other cool thing about this issue, though, is you have the stamps on the front, but on the back, you have a stamp with really big, huge margins. And so always be aware that when you get the sheet, look on the back. There's two more stamps, and they are of a different layout than the stamps on the front of the sheet.
Did not know that.
For those of you trivia fans out there.
What?
I thought they were the same average margin.
Yes, but they don't have a stamp next to them. They have a brushed background around them.
Right.
They're a significantly different-looking stamp.
For those of you trivia fans out there, General Grant was actually dressed as a sergeant during the surrender.
No.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Private. He was wearing a private's outfit.
Proof is left to the student.
Well, it's right there in the picture. Can't you tell?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's dressed as a general.
No, he had a private's uniform, and then he put his epaulets on his sleeve or his shoulders for it.
Hmm. And why did he refuse the sword? I'm curious.
Oh, because he was a classy guy.
Yeah.
So if you want to share your thoughts online, they're actually using the hashtag CivilWar150, so you can give your take on this new issue. So hashtag stamp stories. It comes to us via Japan. In the U.S., we have something called the Dead Letter Office. Well, in Japan, they actually created a museum dedicated to dead letters. It's more like a work of art. They literally have There's a YouTube video on it if you look it up, but there's a sculpture with different, it makes noise when you turn it, and the tall metal objects kind of cling together, and there's mail, kind of mail-shaped boxes all along it, and you can open it and pull out a dead letter and read people's mail.
That's kind of cool.
It's based on their Japanese symbol for it is like a message in a bottle, which if you read Japanese writing, it's a T with a line directly over it as long as the T is wide.
Yep.
If you can visualize it, that's your symbol.
What's that the symbol of?
That would be called
the kanji. Message in a bottle.
Oh, interesting.
It's a symbol for message in a bottle.
I will be able to remember that, and now I can write Japanese.
Ooh, you can remember one character.
Your first Japanese character. So they get letters like this. It's much like that post project we talked about earlier where people send postcards, you know, postsecrets.com. This is the same thing, but in Japan.
I noticed that. It was kind of similar. It looks like there's some that maybe weren't necessarily addressed to actual people that they could be delivered to. There's like unborn babies and dead relatives and
people just wanting to get it out of their system. One of them reads, "To my future grandchild, when you arrive, the sooner the better. Come on and be born. I can't wait to finally do for you everything that I couldn't do for my own kids." That's one of the postcards.
Sounds like somebody's grandkids are going to be spoiled.
So they will keep your mail there, your dead mail, and hopefully reunite it with the person it was intended for. So you may have something waiting for you at this post office. You just don't know it yet.
I want to see him send letters to dead people. It's possible. You never know.
Yeah, but you can't claim those ones.
And for those of you who need more dead letter stories to brighten up your day, may I recommend Bartleby the Scrimmeter by Herman Melville?
Interesting. What's that one about?
You haven't read? Oh, it's
no.
It's well, I don't want to spoil it for the readers at home.
Oh, spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert! Turn off your podcast.
150-year-old book here. We're going to discuss.
If you haven't read it, it can still be spoiled. Is everybody ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
A man is hired as a scrivener, which is a copyist. And every time his boss asks him to do something, he says, "I prefer not to, sir." And the reason is that Bartleby has died while an employee of the dead letter office. It's a regular H.M. or H.E. Shamalian sort of plot twist at the end.
Ooh.
With many philosophical musings thereon.
Sounds like Shyamalan ripped off The Sixth Sense.
Yeah. Could have.
Somebody didn't know they were dead till they were in.
Dead devil's mail.
Yeah. Would have saved me $11.
Oh, true.
So if you want to mail something to them, you can. I will read this. I will badger it, but I will also put it on our show notes. So it's missing post office, and there's a symbol for the message in the bottle, the T with the line over the top. 769-1108 Hakuru Yobinako Dome.
Yeah, this is good. Here's a better way to get it to the dead letter office. Write Japan on your envelope. It goes there. They have no clue where to send it. They send it to the dead letter office.
There you go.
And don't put a return address on it.
So, and then Ashwashima 1317-2, Takuma Town, Mayoto City, Kagawa
Prefecture.
Prefecture. And it will get there. And spell it horribly like I said it, so we'll definitely get there.
And put Japan at the end if you're sending it from the U.S. or it's not going to get there. You actually need the country.
Yeah.
Hiroryu Yubin Kyokyu Dome.
So that's an interesting...
Washima?
Yeah, way to get
Awashima.
Some.
Yeah, we could spend all day on that.
Yeah. Okay, so updates. Kaz, do you have any corrections for us today?
Yes, I do. First of all, for our Pony Express...
Incorrect.
Huh?
Wrong.
For the Pony Express, we were talking about whether it had 3-cent stamps or 10-cent stamps. They had both.
Oh.
They also had some that had no stamps. So it was either a no stamp, 3-cent stamp, or 10-cent stamp. So
C, all of the above.
I was 1/3 correct. Scott was 1/3 correct. And neither of us mentioned the 0 stamps.
And everybody wins.
I have, on a solemn note... And we all know deaths come in three. First one, of course, was Maya Angelou. Second one was Leonard Nimoy. And I regret to announce that Tinkerbell, who is Paris Hilton's chihuahua, has passed on. And I was thinking that maybe we could do this for stamps, you know, things that are appropriate to put on stamps. What do we call that? Stamp worthy?
Yeah, hashtag stamp worthy.
So Tinkerbell, stamp worthy, you know, that's the way it is. And I also have a warning for people, and this is just a service warning. I read a book called To Kill a Mockingbird. It had zero useful information for killing mockingbirds. It had a bit of a legal story to it, so that boosted it up. I give it a C-.
Oh, boy. I tried to keep a straight face.
We needed another spoiler alert there.
Yep. I swear I saw a cartoon. It was on Family Guy or something, where they had some cat reading that book going, come on, there's nothing in here about how to kill a mockingbird.
Okay. Yep. So I
have
a little.
Cash steals everything.
There we go.
Hey, if you steal from me, you're stealing it twice.
So I want to start a little open letter to the USPS. Based on this link from their corporate social responsibility stamp collecting link, it says, how do I remove stamps from an envelope? When they say soaking, which we knew, but they also describe soaking off stamps that have the self-adhesive gum, and that it might take a little longer, but it will still work. Now,
wrong.
Exactly. What does soaking a self-adhesive stamp look like when you're
crap?
In the end, it looks like paper pulp attached to paper pulp, but the gum will be intact.
It just depends on what it's stuck to.
The ink, because they use coated paper, the ink generally cracks and flakes off, and it just looks horrible. And so hot water, warm, cold, doesn't matter. They, at least one of their stamp printers is not sourcing their paper with the water-soluble layer between the gum and the stamp, so there's really no reason to take a chance and figure out which one unless you got a pile of the same stamp, because most of them are difficult to soak or impossible to soak.
Well, maybe they're addressing in the future. In the future, they may have water-soluble self-stick. So, you know, for future kids, for my grandkids and my great-grandchildren in the future, you know, who are listening to this podcast and going, hey, that's my great-granddad. You might be able to soak these things off, but we're screwed.
Pretty much. Yeah, it leaves little micro cracks and lines all over. It looks like a map of Mordor, basically.
However,
by the time you're done trying to soak it off.
I have heard a suggestion. You take the stamp, you put it into an ice tray, and you freeze it. And then you take the ice cubes out and throw them in with whiskey. And then you get drunk and you don't care what the stamps look like.
Crap, I was actually paying attention to that, too.
But I'm bummed.
Even worse, they suggest that you soak the self-adhesive stamp until it sinks to the bottom. That's the time limit on it.
You're going to be there a while.
Well, that you might just have pulp when you're done.
Yeah.
And wonder if the gum is, like, lighter than water gum and it just keeps floating forever.
Well, if you're going to do that, here's my suggestion.
Pretty much.
No, let's give a plug to whatever corporation owns the orange spray. It's pure citrus. Spray the stamps. It liquefies the gum so you can scrape the gum off the back. And hold on. He's looking at the can right now.
Ooh, we have a
Not
can right
animal
now.
Tested. It's Blue Magic Incorporated.
Blue Magic Incorporated. Buy your stock, quick.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Don't get yourself adhesives near water. I've tried more than once. No, it's just not worth it. You're going to destroy your stamps, because if you leave it in, I've tried it a couple of ways, if you leave it in long enough where it can start to move, when you go to peel it off, you're going to crease the crap out of the stamp when you're trying to peel it off. If you leave it long enough where it's going to fall off naturally, you've dissolved half the stamp. So just use pure citrus and leave it alone. Bad USPS. Bad.
Yeah, I was shocked to see that on there.
Well, obviously they haven't tried.
Well, they're not stamp collectors.
It's on their stamp collecting, like...
But huge. They're not stamp collectors, and they don't listen to stamp collectors.
No, there you
go. I guess not.
That is now evident.
If they did listen to stamp collectors, we'd still be using lick and stick stamps.
Mm.
Yeah, true.
Okay, so our expert topic of the week is Westpex 2015.
Yay, yay, yay.
And it was a beautiful drive up there. Actually, I don't remember. I wasn't conscious. But I'm sure it was a beautiful drive up there.
It was lots of farms.
It was long.
Lots of cows and lots of farms. Did I say farms? There were trees, too. Lots of those.
Yeah, clarify you were asleep, not unconscious. There is a difference.
We did not knock you out.
Okay, so did anybody find anything good?
Of course.
Did What's you? Your best find?
My best find was a strip of five of the bread wagon transportation coil. Imperforate, used on piece.
Ooh.
Interesting.
How in the world? Oh. I just trying to figure out how that would have gotten out there. I guess somebody just really wasn't paying attention.
I don't know. I thought it was cool.
Was it a commercial cover or was it Philatelic?
It was just
or?
On piece.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Oh, that's too bad. It would have been cool to find a little more of the story.
Yeah. I bought a little collection of cancels. So that there were some pretty neat ones in there, some 210s with some nice fancy cancels. Otherwise, it was... oh, I did find something. I took my son out and went fossil hunting.
Ah.
And we found some pretty cool fossils out in a railroad cut just about 15 miles away from the stamp show.
Huh. Okay. Have to stop by there someday. Lloyd, what did you find?
I got two dented frame Glover flaws, one from Gambia and one from Seychelles. A catalog totaling 525 pounds, for which I paid the grand sum of $9.
Woohoo! That's a good find.
Woo-hoo. I found a true rarity.
Uh-oh.
I found Disney binders for $5 a piece.
Oh! There you go.
They go for like $25 plus $15 shipping on eBay. So for those of you that buy on eBay and don't go to stamp shows, you're missing out.
I found an album that Scott helped me out with a little bit. It had some nice coils in it, and not until after negotiated the price down and had actually purchased it did I discover that it had an almost complete collection of special deliveries, just minus one, in there. And I paid $170 for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that made it worth it. It was a lot of fun. And it's a nice book, too. I'm going to spend years moving all of my stuff over, putting it into a new book.
And I got to sit down at Stanley's table and listen to him rant.
Ooh, what did Stanley rant about this time?
Oh, what was it? He had a bunch of face value stuff. You know something? I'm going to do a casus correction here real quick. He didn't rant about really anything I can remember. He what? Talked loudly about stuff. He expressed opinion, but I don't think anything was really a rant this time. Oh, Stanley, yeah. You're letting us down.
He ranted at me.
So. Oh, okay. what did
not,
he rant about?
It's not something I care to share.
Oh. And that really is a rant. Jeez.
Yeah. It's not stamp related, jeez.
But fortunately, I wasn't the object of ridicule.
Oh, okay.
You were just an ear in the vicinity that he trusted.
So did anything find anything bad or horrifying? Or
yes, I was horrified by the cockroach exhibit.
Oh, that exhibit was awesome.
Okay,
that
I'm sorry.
Following me.
Edit that out and go ahead and Jessica, tell him about the cockroach exhibit.
Well, no, it's following me. It's kind of this time I actually noticed they had a. You know, they had that live, the dead brooch all laid out.
A lucite encased cockroach.
But mounted.
They also included a roach holder.
I thought that was pretty creepy.
Yeah.
The roach holder?
Yeah.
The roach clip?
A roach clip?
There was a roach clip in there as part of the exhibit, yep.
Yeah, they talked about...
a real one from the 60s.
Marijuana stamps, I guess, and roaches and kind of made
it ties together.
It's connected.
Yeah, it's good.
It was like a I'd never seen one before. I didn't even know it existed, but apparently pot paraphernalia is the hot thing to own right now, so they're all coming to the surface.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah. With all the legalization, yeah. Of course.
It has been for a few years.
Yeah.
I wonder what that thing smells like.
did the cockroach...
Like the 60s, man.
Was the cockroach exhibit a competitive exhibit?
I'm not sure.
All I know is it's by a woman. It's one of the women exhibitor success stories.
Ah. What?
The cockroach exhibit.
So she's successful because she was able to harvest cockroaches?
No, her first, I guess one of her first exhibitors, and they were able to mentor her along.
Women's Exhibitors is a club that Jessica interviewed at one point. So it's one of their success stories.
Nobody mentored this exhibit because this exhibit busted all the rules and was fantastic. If it would have been boring and dull and dreary,
it would have gotten an award.
It would have gotten an award. And then you could have said, yes, somebody mentored this because it is a totally boring exhibit. I mean, you would not see lucite encased cockroaches in a actual exhibit that the judges would have said, oh, yes. Oh, well,
we got to suggest to her that she puts a trailer like from the Little Rascals or something because they were produced by Hal Roach.
Oh, there you go.
Ooh.
I thought that the exhibit on the first issue, Revenues, they were largest multiples. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of largest multiples in there. It was kind of just, you're right, it won a gold, but it was boring.
Yeah.
The one that had the Persian rugs in it?
Yeah.
No, because it was, it was just one block after another. Mm. Largest known multiple, only one of three multiples known, largest known. And it just on and on, and just each consecutive issue. And it's like, okay, so you spent a lot of money and you bought the biggest multiple of every issue out there.
Good job.
Big deal. Good job.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't make a great exhibit.
I'm pretty sure that one was at Stanley Cal, too.
The other, another exhibit that I noted was, I think it was... hunting stamps of Cuba or something like that.
Yeah, there were a lot of hunting stamps and duck stamps.
Yeah, and this particular exhibit, it basically exhibited one of each and told you, like, this was September 1969, August 1969, July 1969, and it just kind of went right along, and that's all it had. Hmm. And it was basically just like collection pages with identifications on it. And that one got like a silver medal or something like that.
Well, what did is it Christine? She exhibited the playing cards, and she wrote the book on the playing cards. And I collect playing cards.
Oh, the wrappers.
Oh, that
stuff?
Was a good exhibit. Yeah. I liked that one.
But I was curious as to what it got because she. There's so much more neat information about playing cards, and she didn't have any of it there. She showed a couple of the playing cards, but she didn't really go into the history of it or why the wrappers were there.
But when you're in a competitive exhibit, that's the way the rules are set up.
Yeah.
Is they don't want the information. They just want to see the rare stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's
And it's unfortunate. It's not an educational exhibit that way. It's not a fun exhibit. It's just boring. Okay.
Well, it is educational because you can go there and say, hey, the largest known multiple of R17 is 12. And now with that information, you can go out into the world and try to find a block of 14 and go, I have beaten the largest known multiple.
So one bad thing I noticed is I went to the website. It said, first virtual exhibit of the exhibits. And it had all those hoopla pictures and stuff like that.
Oh, what was that?
Well, I clicked on them. It says... not available. Link doesn't work.
That's awesome.
So I was like clicking in all the pictures. I want to see that exhibit. I want to see that exhibit. Nothing. It was just URL not found. And I was like, they were so close to impressing me with their virtual exhibit.
Well, that 404 URL not found exhibit was pretty good then.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. What is US number 404?
That was the PERF 10 Pan Pacific stamp.
Oh, there you go. That's what it was about.
The 10 cent.
So from now on, we'll have a 10 cent Pan Pacific exhibit. And so whenever you pull up a website and it gives you 404 error, web page not found, you actually are on the correct web page. It's for the 10 cent Pan Pacific.
There we go.
Print on an album page that has a 404 spot and nothing on it.
Speaking of the Pan Pacific, I attended a seminar presentation by Dave Savage about the Pan Pacific Exposition.
Pan American.
Pan Pacific.
Pan Pacific. Oh, okay.
It was the 100th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
The Pan American was 1898. You've gotten that confused.
I did too. I wrote the wrong thing.
I will stop. Cash's corrections.
When I left on Saturday, we drove past the Pan Pacific exhibit site. You know, the big arches and everything. Walked around at the park there. You know, I'm very aware of it.
Cool. Anyway, it was really cool because he showed some postal history. Talked about the model post office that was there at the exposition. He actually showed pictures of the inside of the model post office. He talked about pioneer flights at the Pan Pacific Exposition. He talked about the Navy presence. It was really kind of interesting, and I learned quite a bit. But I had a ulterior motive for attending that too, because I had a paper fan.
Oh yes,
that was purchased. That you would purchase at the fair, at the exposition. Yeah. And on one side, it had a drawing of the exposition grounds, and on the other side, it had a map of San Francisco showing the exposition grounds, and with some other additional artwork on it. And being paper ephemera from 100 years ago, these things were meant to be used and thrown away. And even though mine was in a little rough condition, it was still worth $100.
Oh, good deal.
Yeah. Cool. So I thought that was really cool. But my ulterior motive was to find out how much it was worth. So I figured I'd ask the guy who might know. And he certainly did. He said he'd seen a few that were in better condition, but most were in worse condition that he'd seen. And so I was real happy with $100.
Yeah.
On that.
Yeah, not bad at all.
I kind of expected a 45-minute presentation. It was an hour and a half long, though. Mm.
Yikes.
Wow.
Did you like any of the exhibits, Jessica?
I was talking about seminars. Since he's talking about that one, I want to give a shout-out to the Cats on Stamps people who had a meeting. I'm sure it was lovely, but those are my people. Those are my
meow
kind of people
man.
Right there.
Meow.
Meow men?
Meow man.
Oh.
Did it's Hello
Kitty? Yeah, it's just because Hello Kitty on the stamps. Yes,
yes,
that's the problem.
That's
the only reason.
I even bought a Hello Kitty wearing a Welcome to San Francisco shirt at the gift shop.
You bought two of them. Okay. Where's the other one going?
Oh, I wanted to give it to my Hello Kitty source stamp dealer, A&D Stamps.
Oh, okay.
Give it to her. I didn't see her again, but I'll give it to her another show, saying thank you for feeding my habit.
Nice, it was really
nice plug there for A&D.
Yeah,
it was really funny. Whose table were you at? It was the guy next
Demick.
To Jim Lear. Demick, that's
yeah,
right.
He said he sold out of Hello Kitty. He doesn't get one.
She sat down at his table 2 hours after show opening.
Yeah, but that's where you got the books. Yeah.
And he said in that 2 hours, somebody had already beaten her to him and cleaned out all of his Hello Kitty stamps. I did not know there was more than one that was like that.
So whoever you
are, that
was
awesome.
You ruined my day.
Because he's the go-to for topical stuff, right?
Yeah, I love his stuff.
Oh, that's right. We found that guy down at the corner that did train ephemera and stamp-related stuff, and we got a really beautiful stock certificate from a railroad.
With a documentary stamp.
With a documentary stamp on it. It was the only one that he had left.
So, anyone else see any favorite seminars?
That was it. My hour and a half long seminar was about all I could take. I was kind of busy doing other stuff, but it was a nice break from running around the show
and working.
And working.
Yeah. And working. So what opinions do you guys have on Westpex? What would you like? What feedback would you like to give the show? Like, give
it is still it is still the best stamp show
on
the West Coast.
That was a nice show.
Stamp show.
And I would venture to say the best stamp show that I've been to consistently. Westpex has always met or exceeded expectations.
My only problem that I had, and it's probably because of venue size, is it was so spread out. I missed stuff just because there was stuff everywhere. There were dealers in four different locations, in three different rooms plus a hallway.
Well, you really need to spend multiple days there, and I know you only got to spend one day there. But yeah, even with going and attending all 3 days, it does... It takes a concerted effort to really make it around and visit each dealer.
Wear comfortable shoes.
Yes.
That's my advice.
A lot of walking. A lot.
I appreciated the water stations they had for everybody because you're practically walking like miles, it feels like.
The one thing that I'll say that's nice that now I realize that they had to have planned purposefully this way. They combined the main showroom and the exhibits in the same space when they could have split that up differently. They could have fit all the dealers in the same room had they not done that. So I kind of appreciated that the exhibits weren't an extra trip. Was there any other reason that they maybe would have set it up that way?
Yeah, it's just security, I'm sure. But there is one cool thing about the Westpex show is they have a huge lobby down below it. You go down the escalator.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And there's a beautiful big lobby there, and all the stamp collectors hang out there. And then on the other side is where the Skylar Rumsey stamp auction is.
Which, by the way, was... It seemed to be, if not well attended, there were lots of bids and things were going.
I got nothing.
Very well.
I got outbid on everything.
Yeah.
Every single item.
Well, it's good for them, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Jessica and I sat upstairs on the second floor. There's this neat little bar strip area, and we ate lunch looking out over the water, watching the planes take off and land. And that was really nice.
It was nice.
Yeah.
Okay, ready to open our C3A. Commemorative sheet.
Got it right here. I think you're early.
That was a little premature. Yeah. Jeez. There we go.
Yeah, it was hard when you're doing that upside down.
And it is. He's got his finger on the button. But I have a funny feeling this is going to be an...
Oh, it's coming out really difficult. You never know.
Oh.
That plane just crashed.
It did.
12 more cents or $12 in postage.
Okay, you can email us at stampshowtoday@gmail.com, Twitter at stampshowht, Facebook stampshowtoday, and our website www.stampshowtoday.com with your questions and comments. You can now leave your questions and comments on our Google Voice answering machine anytime, country code 1-949-873-4298. There's also a link on our Google Voice on our website so you can make the call from your computer. And on that note, keep collecting.
I'm Liz Heisey with Women Exhibitors, talking on Stamp Show Here Today.
This episode of Stamp Show Here Today is brought to you by the Philatelic Book of Secrets, the book that teaches you about repurfs, regums, color varieties, and much more. Get yours for $10 at www.philatelicsecrets.com today.